And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post podcast, live from a windowless room inside what will always be the Air Canada Center. Sorry to Scotiabank. I refuse to call it what it is. Where I could not come to Toronto without dragging on one of this season's breakout stars, Spicy P, Pascal Siakam. How you doing?
Hey, good. How you doing, man?
I'm hanging
thanks
in.
Thanks for having me, man. So it was like big time.
You know, I drove the bandwagon.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Everyone's off now.
We kicked everyone?
It's closed.
Okay.
Your family can come on.
My family? I mean, I think they were already on before you, though.
I hope so.
Yeah, they were. So, I mean, yeah. We can close it. You got a key. You do what you want.
Yeah. You came out of practice today with a WWE championship belt. Please explain. Who gets the belt?
Who gets the belt? The most versatile guy on the team. But defense, it was mostly like, just deflections and activity. Being the best out there,
in the game last night?
In the game last night. From the game. So, deflections, steals, activity around the rim, showing length and, all that.
Who decides who gets the belt?
Well, they have like a little chart that they do, and they watch the film and they decide. Like,
how many times have you gotten the belt?
I think that's my first time, actually.
That cannot possibly be true.
Right? That's not true. I don't know who does that.
They give it out after every game, starting from game?
No, not every game.
Okay, all right, okay.
Some games.
I was going to say, there's no way you guys have played 37 games.
I have way
games.
More than that, yeah.
Yeah, you'd have 10 belts by now.
They don't want to give me all the belts. You got to make everybody else feel better.
Okay. Yeah, that's very selfless.
I know. I'm that's what I'm about.
You're a team guy.
Yeah, always.
they play. So obviously you're known as Spicy P, even though scandalously it came out on Danny Green's podcast. So you don't like spicy food.
No, let me explain that. Don't just say that like that for the people to hear and you're not going to explain it.
Okay. Explain.
The only reason I don't eat spicy food is because I'm already spicy.
I don't need
to add spice.
I like spice.
I'm the spice. I'm the spice. I bring the spice to the food.
See, that makes sense because I put a lot of spice on my food. Right. My daughter makes fun of me because I put hot sauce on everything. No, daddy, no, too much hot sauce. No, daddy, hot sauce doesn't go on that. But I need spice.
I don't blame you. I mean, when you're already spicy, you don't need more spice.
But during the game, they play, every time you score, they play Jim Carrey from The Mask saying, "That's so spicy." And you claim you don't hear it.
I don't hear it. I never heard it. To be honest, that's the first time I heard it. You told me that.
I had to research where that came from. Because I've never seen The Mask, but that's where it comes from.
That's crazy. I got to pay attention now. Like, cause I actually don't hear anything.
I don't want to ruin your season by now you're going to be listening.
At the end of the day, I'm still going to be me, but I'm like, I don't pay attention to like what's going on after. Like, I'm just playing.
Just playing.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a big week in Raptors world. Mm. The game is almost upon us in San Antonio.
The game.
So obviously you know what's coming. Mm-hmm. For you, it's a reunion.
Right, right.
And for Kawhi, it's something else. Have you guys talked about it? Like, what's the atmosphere going to be like? Mm-hmm. We want to get this one for Kawhi, or I don't know. Do you guys discuss it as a team?
No, we haven't actually talked about that. We all know it's coming. I actually just talked to DeMar last night and, he always checking on me and, you know, and like all the time. And I try to check on him and, just like, it'd be fun. It's nothing like crazy, you know. I mean, I know he probably excited about the game and we're excited about the game as well, you know, just getting back out there, playing against him and just competing. That's what, you know, when you're at that level, you know, the competition is always great.
Has Kawhi mentioned anything about what he thinks it's going to be like?
I asked today I asked Danny and I was asking him like, what do you think it's going to be like? You think they're going to boo Kawhi or what are they going to do? I don't know. I feel like the consensus is like, I mean, they're probably going to boo Kawhi and Danny probably going to get some ovation. I don't know.
They're going to boo Kawhi.
Right?
That's going to happen for sure.
So, I don't know. It'll be fun. It'll be interesting. I want to see it. Actually, I'm excited to see
those games are fun.
I'm excited to see what's going to happen. It should be a fun game. I'm sure exciting for Kawhi and, Danny.
Where were you and how did you learn that the trade happened?
I was in Orlando, I was working out, and it was in the morning, and I was in the gym, and my agent was right there. He was watching me work out, and he kept like going back and forth, like outside and talking on the phone and all that. I mean, in my head, I'm thinking, I don't know, I might, cause before that, there was a lot of rumors about, oh, okay, OG, Pascal, or, I mean, I don't know, like it was a lot of names thrown out there.
One of the young guys gotta go.
Yeah,
right?
Well, somebody gotta go. Yeah. So in my head, I wasn't like really thinking about it, but it's still in the back of my mind, kinda like, just walking around and pacing back and forth and while I'm working out, and I'm just like, I'm trying to focus, but, and then he comes out and he tells me that, they traded, DeMar, and Jakob. So for me, it's like, you know, like Jakob's my guy. So DeMar's my guy. So like, I'm kind of shocked. And, I stopped the workout for a little bit. You know, I call Jakob, you know,
I was going to ask what's your first call. So Jakob,
yeah, I've called Jakob first call. I mean, I didn't know, cause I thought like for DeMar, it was like more like impactful.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should call him right away. Like, how is he feeling? Like, should I text him? So like, I didn't know how he was going to react, but Jakob, you know, we have like more of that connection. Yeah. Whereas like, I just called him right away. You know, we talked about it and, you know, obviously he was disappointed and he, you know, he loved being here, you know, with us and all that. You know, I just try to, you know, just encourage him to just continue, you know, continue to work on hard and that, you know, it happens at the end of the day, you know, we family and, you know, we support him, whatever. And I think like, maybe like a couple of days later, I texted DeMar and like kind of like told him the same kind, you know, and just tell him that he is like one of my favorite players, like to watch anyway, like just before and then coming here, just watching him play and like the things that he's able to do on the floor.
Did he text back? Who's this? Like I got a new phone.
No, actually, no, he did. Cause the year before he followed me already. So that was a big day for me.
I know you said that was a big landmark.
The day he followed me, you know, that was a really big day for me. But you know, like he's a great guy, man. Like, we have a cool, I'm no Lowry, but you know what I'm saying? But you know, we cool. He's a great guy.
Are you going to get dinner with anyone in San Antonio? Jakob?
I mean, probably, you know, that would be fun. You know, especially I think we spent the night there too after the game. So
yeah.
It'll be fun to hang out.
Who has replaced Jakob as in your social circle? He's irreplaceable.
Yeah, we talk all the time. But I think I kind of like hang out with Fred. I mean, DeLon.
They tell me, the people on the team tell me, the guys who played with the 905 that year, that you guys, the 905 won, are super, super tight still.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Fred is all, like, I think, I mean, cause Fred was also in my draft class, and like, he didn't get drafted, but he came on to us. It was like, Fred, me, Jakob, we always like, you know, we kind of got that connection. So we always, you know, I'm always pretty close to Fred, and I always like, he always talks to me like all the time, like about like confidence and things like that. Cause you know, and I always ask him like, how do you do it? You know, you miss 5-6 shots. And
he's
got to
be
shots.
A top 10 most confident guy in the NBA.
And he's a guy that I talk to about it. Cause he always used to tell me like to always shoot, like, and to always be confident. And sometimes like when I'm growing up, I just look at him and he always give me that look like just go.
Yeah, even last night, he was like 0-9 or something. He just kept taking them. Yeah, and then they start going in.
I tell him every day, he's my idol. Like, I look up to him.
Playing the Bulls last night, did you feel like you had taken a time machine back to 1985, the way they're posting up every single possession and playing super slow?
I actually didn't, like, is that new?
Since they changed coaches.
Oh, cause like, I was like, I don't remember them playing like that. Cause it was just, I mean, I don't know, like they were walking the ball up every single possession. Like it was weird. I never like noticed that until now.
You've always been a fast improver throughout your brief basketball career, man. You haven't been playing very long. Right. Your jump from year one to year two at New Mexico State was legendarily big. Even so, are you surprised at how good you've been this year?
I'm not. For me to say I'm surprised, it's like, you know, like it just happened. Like it's me like consistently like just working on my game and getting better. And I think obviously with a little bit more confidence and, you know, and I mean, being in the starting lineup, having the trust of the coaches to let me go out there and be me and do, you know, the things that I'm good at. And, you know, definitely that helps too. But there's no surprise for me. It's just like hard work every summer and like getting better every day.
Did you know that you were going to be a full-time starter? Cause I'm not sure that was 100% like the plan.
Yeah. I never in my mind, like, kind of like had a plan or like what I was going to be, you know. For me, it was just always coming in, come back from the summer, show that I got better, show that I improved, and then, you know, just let the coach decide. And I kind of got, in the beginning of the year, I was kind of telling people, like, I'm kind of tired of, like, the bench mob thing, you know, cause, like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it was cool for a year, and, like, and it was fun. Like, that was, like, that's how we was known as, you know, we came on and we made life, like, harder for the other team. But, you know, for me, coming in the next year, I didn't want to, like, have that stigma of, like, being a bench player. Like, I thought about it a little bit, and I think I said in one of the interviews before, like, you know, for me, I just want to play, you know, and no matter where that is, but I don't want to be like, oh, I'm a bench guy or this or that.
Yeah. I thought they might platoon you and OG like they do Serge and JV.
Yeah. Like that's how it was in the beginning of the year. And then I don't know.
It is, I mean, so how far you've come so fast is remarkable. So your story is incredible. Hmm. You start playing, what, 15, 16?
16, yep.
And now you're a borderline all-star, let's say, this year. Let's talk a little bit about your journey. Your father famously sends you to seminary.
Right.
Even though I think everyone in the family knows you do not want to be a priest.
Yeah. That was tough. Like, that was like a tough for me, like just, because I knew, like, my brothers went to seminaries and some of them went to boarding school. So, like, I knew what it was about. Like, I knew it was hard. I knew, you know, the food wasn't great. I knew
you gotta wake up early.
Yeah, you gotta wake up early. You had this old schedule, like, of your life, you know, like, in, like, you had to do every day. So I knew about all that. And then when my dad told me, you know, it was kind of like the saddest day of my life. But, you know, you couldn't really argue with my dad, you know. He's a big, 6'6" dude, you know, kind of like way bigger than I am. And, just, you know, you couldn't say no.
Well, that was one of the things I was going to ask you. Like, you wrote in your Players Tribune essay, which was quite good. That the thing that most surprised you about America is that kids could talk back to their elders.
Yeah. That was really surprising.
Like in Cameroon, you can't do that.
No, I don't see it anywhere. Like for me, it was like, My brothers and sisters disciplined me. Like I couldn't, like, you know, and all, and it was like they disciplined me more than my parents did. But then there's no way I can talk back to my mom or my dad. Like for me, it was unheard of. And you know, coming here, just seeing how like it was surprising to me, to be honest.
So if and when you have kids, long way off, whenever if they're born in North America.
Right.
How are you going to deal with this? Are you going to instill in them like, no, I'm the boss. No one talks back.
I don't think I would do that. And like, or like, you know, like my dad did to me, which was like one of the best thing he did for me, you know, like sending me to seminary school. Like just cause as a kid, I was the last child, right? Like I'm my mom, they get me to do everything. My brothers do everything for me. I couldn't make my own bed. I couldn't wash the dishes. I couldn't do anything. Like I was just sitting there and everybody just does everything and I'm just playing around. Like I'm running around.
It doesn't sound bad.
Doesn't sound bad at all. But you know, for a grown up like me now, thinking about it, going to seminary school helped me just cause I was on my own. Like I had to do everything on my own and it prepared me for going to college on my own. You know, my brothers wasn't around and now being an NBA. I mean, obviously now I have my brother here, but Just like living on my own and knowing what to do. So but I don't think I would do that just cause I kind of want my kid, like, you know, like just to do whatever he wants to do. And like, I mean, I'm a support him and guide him, but then, you know, I don't want to like, you know, force certain things onto him.
Luc Richard Mahmoudé is from Cameroon. He's sort of the basketball god of Cameroon.
Yep.
You go to his camp in 2011 and then you get invited to the NBA's Basketball Without Borders camp in 2012.
Yep.
Surprising you. You didn't think that invite is coming. And I believe you wrote this. You almost didn't go.
Yeah.
You almost like forget this.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I didn't want to go. Like, cause for me, I wasn't a basketball player. Like basketball was just like, we had an old hoop at the seminary, but it was like, nobody played. Like, it wasn't serious.
Played soccer.
Yeah, played soccer. That was my sport. And, you know, if I didn't play soccer, I was going to, you know, like stay in Cameroon, help my dad out and, you know, in his companies and stuff like that. So that was my plan. But then my sister lived in South Africa, at the time when Basketball Without Borders was in South Africa. And for me, it was like, oh, I haven't seen
my
sister.
That's why you went.
Yes.
I haven't seen, for basketball.
No, I haven't seen my sister in like 5 years or something since she left. So I'm like, oh, this is the best opportunity for me. I'm going to go. I'm going to see her. I'm going to hang out with her. You know, I miss her.
In between, I'll get discovered by like just, NBA GMs, you know, or college, at that time, high school coach.
Yeah. But like I said, like Masai was there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't remember me. So it was, as long as like I was great.
I think this is kind of, it's so incredible that you're now on Serge Ibaka's team, mm-hmm. because Serge was at that camp and I think you wrote in that piece that Serge and Lou Aldeng were there.
Yeah.
And some of the other kids at the camp were like, oh my God, look who just came in. This is incredible. They're here. And you were like, who are those dudes? You really didn't know who they were?
I didn't. But that's what I'm saying.
Serge Ibaka walks in. You have no idea who's
no idea. I didn't know who that was.
This is 2012. He just went to the NBA finals.
I didn't Nothing. Watch basketball. Right. Like I didn't watch enough. Obviously I knew the LeBrons and the Jordans, but like who doesn't? But the actual players, like that was in the NBA, I didn't know.
Have you told him that before?
I mean, we haven't had that conversation. I don't know.
It's wild that now you're teammates.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Like just, how fast it happened.
People, Christmas may have come and gone, but it is never too late to give the gift of good oral health. What an exciting gift. The Quip electric toothbrush is one of the most gift guided gifts of the season. And here's why. It's perfect for everyone who has a mouth, which is literally everyone. It is the gift that keeps refreshing. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. And you can even gift prepaid refills to your friends. It's one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association and has thousands of verified 5-star reviews. Quip looks like a big ticket tech gift, but it starts at just $25. That seems super low for a high-end electric toothbrush. And right now, if you go to getquip.com/low, my last name, the name of this podcast, you get your first refill pack for free with the purchase of a Quip electric toothbrush. What could be a better way to start your new year? That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/low. So then you go to college, you kill it in college, you go to the draft. The stories of the pre-draft workouts are legendary. And the story is that the Raptors invite all the international prospects mm-hmm. to a workout in Buffalo.
Yeah.
You get very excited. Mm-hmm. You see Jakob Poeltl. He's a lottery pick.
Yeah, he's up there.
Scalabissier, you know, mm-hmm. he's maybe going to be a lottery pick. Mm-hmm. I'm big time. Mm-hmm. I made it. Like this is, I'm in. And then please tell people what happens the next day when the workout happens.
Oh man, I get to the workout. It was in Buffalo. I get there. And, you know, I get to the locker room. They had old locker room. It was there. There's names on the thing. I mean, I see the names. So I'm like, I'm getting dressed and like in my head, I'm preparing myself, you know, mentally. Like I'm trying to get this dog out of me. Like this is my workout. Like this is it, you know, and then I get on the floor and I see some tall white guy, like real, real tall. But it wasn't Jakob. Somebody else. I don't remember. I don't know who it was.
Ask, do you know who they were? So it was explained to me that they were guys that were not being considered for the draft. They were fill-in guys who were
maybe
for G League purposes.
That gets me even mad right now. I didn't even know that. I thought it was like prospects. So I was in a group with the people that wasn't even supposed to be there.
Yes.
I was supposed to be a G League player. So in my head, I get there and I don't see Jakob and I don't see Skal and I'm like, I'm getting anxious. I'm asking the guys like, where are they? Like, no, they have like a separate workout. I'm like, what do you mean a separate workout? Like, I thought it was like a, you know, like I've been, before that, I've been to like maybe 10 workouts. So like, I know the patterns and all that. And I never seen that before. So in my head, I'm just pissed. Like, you know, and it was just like, I mean, whoever is in front of me, I'm just going to take it on.
You played 2-on-2, I think they told me, right?
Yeah.
We played. And you just killed those guys.
Yeah, it was bad. I think that was like one of my best workouts ever.
That's why they picked you. I mean, that workout. Think about that workout. They picked you and they picked Jakob.
Mm-hmm. That was all out. Like I was pissed and, you know, I just felt disrespected and I felt like, you know, I had to show something.
2-on-2 half court. I think it was a guard and you, and then a big on the other team. You don't remember who they were?
I don't remember nobody.
Just victims.
Yeah, just, that's how I saw him. At least, you know, I forgot names when they put Jakob and Skyle on the other side. Names.
Well, they didn't even have a separate workout, just that. They worked out 1-on-0.
1-on-0. Yeah, like, I seen it. I mean, at the end of my workout, I seen them do jump hooks and little, it wasn't even fast. It was
any
like,
chairs? Remember? So sometimes they'll put a chair
chair. Like, I mean, for me, I had Jamal McGraw blocking my shot every possession, or trying to block my shot. He blocked the first shot, and then after that, he didn't anymore.
Okay.
But I had, you know, that was so hard, and then you see them work out. It was interesting.
It all worked out, no pun intended. You were either the first or second draft class where you could stay in the draft longer.
I was the first, yeah.
And then pull out right at the, so, and it, I think you've said it was important for you to like test the, like you took advantage of that rule because you didn't know. If that rule didn't exist, do you think you would have stayed another year? If you had to declare yes or no way earlier?
Right away?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think I probably would have went back. Like, that's, now that I think about it, cause I never thought about it that way. Like, I don't know.
It's crazy.
It's interesting.
It's crazy that they used to make people decide so early.
Right, like so early. And that's interesting. Cause I don't think I would have kept my name in. Cause I was a lot like doubtful, just cause for me, I mean, the NBA became the dream, right? But at the same time, my dad wanted, like, you know, he was all about school, right? Like you have to get your degree, you know, like, and do that. And so I had like those two in my mind. I'm like, okay, what if I don't get drafted and I have to go to, you know, Europe? And it's like, I can always go to Europe. Like, I'm saying? I can finish my degree and go to Europe. So that was a plan. But I think for me, what changed actually was funny. I get to LA cause, you know, the new rule. So I can get to work out and you know, I get to LA for pre-draft workouts. I started working out with Rico Hines. And
we'll talk about him later.
Yeah.
He runs the famous UCLA pickup run.
It's the first, I don't know if you want to talk about it now, but we can always come back to him, but yeah.
And so, but at those workouts, you felt like I belong.
You know, I felt great. And he told me, like the first day he saw me, like he told me like, what do you mean you're thinking about going back to college? Like
really?
Like the first day he saw me, like from the gate. He told me like no, but like cause my agent obviously like he's gonna tell me like, oh, hey, don't go back. But in my head, I'm thinking he's an agent. Like I don't know him. Like he just wants me to,
he's,
you know,
getting his 4%.
Yeah, he's just gonna, it's his money, right? Like and but for him, you know, coming, I mean, I know he knew Todd and all that, but at the same time, it was a guy, you know, he just gave me always like a genuine vibe, like a guy that was always genuine. And for him, like the way it came out for him, like just to tell me that from the first day he saw me, it was just, you know, it was incredible for me. And it kind of gave me like a lot of confidence to just, you know that I had the talent level.
How many of your brothers live here now?
Two.
Do you live with them?
Well, my other brother, James, he's engaged. Well, he's engaged.
Okay.
He's engaged. So he lives with his girl.
Okay.
And then my brother Christian lives with me.
How's the brother roommate relationship? Good?
It's good. That's my guy. You know, he's my guy. He's always, you know, he's always there for me. And I think it's always good to have that balance of just, cause the NBA is rough. Like it's a rough business and just being there every day playing. You know, the fans can love you one day and hate you the next day. You know, I think you kind of need that person that's always going to show you love and always going to like, make sure that you're good. And he's that person.
So I was told to ask you this, but I think I know the answer already. Who was here for Christmas?
Who was here for Christmas? Yeah. Mom Dukes was here for Christmas and, my sister, Mom Dukes was here. So it was one of the best Christmas I ever had, you know, just.
When's the last time you saw Mom?
Maybe like 4 years or 5 years ago.
No way. Really?
Yeah. Crazy. Cause she came here, I think maybe three years. Cause like my rookie year, I think she came like for a brief second. Like,
I had read that she came to see you in Washington.
That was a
play the Wizards. And it was the first time you had seen her in 4 years or something.
4 years. Yeah. And then after that, I didn't see her since Christmas, but now she moved to the US. So
she's here now.
Yeah, she's here now. She's in the US. She lives with my other brother, Boris, and she lives with my sister, but they're in the same city in Kentucky. Bowling Green, Kentucky. And, so they're there and, you know, it's just great to have him. So she just flew her, which is a little easy 2 hour flight to come here.
Was everybody together?
Yes.
Wow. All of us.
Yeah. It was incredible.
That's gotta be when's the last time that happened?
Not in a while. Like in a long, I can't even remember. And I have another sister actually that's in France.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So she wasn't there, but you know,
almost.
Yeah, almost. We had almost the perfect, you know, combo of like the Siakams together. But it was great, man. She cooked my sister, hella food. It was amazing.
Did you get some gifts?
Yeah, yes. I got some gifts. Some nice little gifts.
From home or yeah. From, well, they're here now. So
no, they're here now. So, it was some nice gift. I mean, obviously I'm usually Santa around, you know, I'm usually Santa.
Are you the gift giver?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but yeah, I like doing that anyway. So it's cool.
Anything good? Anything you can share with the people?
Best Christmas gift? What's the best Christmas gift? I don't know. Actually, best Christmas gift was like, we have this minted drink that we used to drink when we was little. It's a minted drink and you add water. It's like kind of like if you do Kool-Aid, basically. Okay. But it's like a little different. It's minty and we used to add milk on that and like sugar. It was really good.
Okay.
And my brother gave it to me. So like that was a pretty awesome gift.
That's nice.
Just cause like it reminded me of back home.
Is there an adult version of that drink?
Well, you can add stuff.
Yeah, you can
add some stuff on that. But I liked it, you know, classy, like, you know, original.
Listeners, if you know one thing about me, it's that you know I like anything that saves me time. And a few years ago, buying tickets to sporting events, Broadway shows, whatever, was getting too complicated. Oh my God, did I forget to go to that secondary market site? What about that one? Am I making sure I get the best deal? Did I forget to go somewhere? All of a sudden, 2 hours has gone by. SeatGeek has changed all of that. It pulls millions of tickets into one place, so you only have to search that one place, nowhere else. It is easy to use. It has a super simple color-coded system. Green dots for good deals, red dots for less good deals. It's easy to see where the seat is. Plus, every purchase on SeatGeek is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. It should be your go-to source for everything, sports, concerts, comedy, theater, whatever it is. And best of all, my listeners, you people, get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code LOW, that's my last name, the name of this podcast, promo code LOW, L-O-W-E, bam, $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event, and we have the tickets. Let's go rapid fire. Tell me one thing, and it has to be a specific thing, not a big pick, not a general thing like he's a good teammate or he plays mm-hmm. hard. One thing you've learned about Kawhi Leonard since he came here.
One thing you heard?
That you've learned.
I thought my laugh was bad. His laugh is pretty incredible.
You will, Serge makes fun of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can't do it. I don't think I can.
Anything else?
It's
what is he like? What does he hate? What does he do on the road? Give me some, the people want to know. Give me some little nugget about Kawhi Leonard.
What does he do? I don't know. That's a problem. I really don't. I see Kawhi when I see him and, yeah. You know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't know what type of stuff you want me to tell you. Like,
I don't know. I just figured if something popped into your mind, he eats chicken on the plane or so. I don't know.
I mean, he do be eating though. He be eating for real. Like and I think last time they had some, I think it was in Cleveland, they had some, one of the best fried chicken I had in a while. And I think Kawhi got it. He bought it on the plane and we all had some. It was incredible.
That barely counts.
What do you mean?
That barely counts.
What do you mean?
I wanted.
He brought fried chicken to the plane for everybody.
That's pretty good. I wanted like he sang karaoke once. I wanted something good.
I don't think he sang. I mean,
the laugh is an all-time NBA moment.
No, the laugh is awesome. It's amazing. Like I watch that sometimes just when I'm chilling.
Well, when Serge makes fun of him, will he just ignore it or will he engage in the, will he smile at least?
I don't know.
I picture him like, I think that would be a gamble making fun of Kawhi the laugh.
Like, but I think they have like that weird little relationship going on. You know, I think they're cool. Like I think Serge can afford to.
Serge is funnier than I thought.
Yeah.
His cooking show is kind of funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It is funny. Being on that, I was on that. It was. Yeah, it was interesting.
Well,
can't cook, but it's pretty fun.
Well, I was at the Mandela event when he did the crickets, when he made the cricket smoothies.
I wasn't going to do that.
For who is it?
Actually,
Chris Tucker?
Crickets is actually good.
Yeah, no, cricket is like, that's not, that's not, they make protein bars out of that.
Yeah, it's not bad.
What do you remember from the locker room after game one of the Cleveland series last year where you guys miss all the tip-ins at the buzzer? What is the locker room like after like a gut punch like that? Does someone say something? I mean, what do you remember from that post game?
I don't think anyone said anything. I mean, it was just like, we just all felt like, you know, that's, that was our game. Like, you know, like that's the game we should have won. And obviously you feel like, oh, it could have changed everything and, you know, the momentum and all that. But, you know, it was just tough for us to like swallow that. Like, you know, like that first loss was really, really hard. Like it was a tough loss for us. And, I don't remember much talking. Like, I don't remember a lot of talking. Yeah. I mean, it was obviously like, okay, it's game one. Like, you know, let's go.
Did you still feel like you had a chance?
Yes. Of course. I mean, after we played the way we played, like, why not? Like, we dominated the first half. You know, we always felt like we definitely had a better chance, like, to beat them. Like, that's always how we felt. Like, I felt like that, you know, cause I always felt like we had the better overall, like, roster. And I felt like we had the better players.
Yeah, they had one guy that's...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Obviously, they had LeBron and, you know, he, But overall, like, just when you looked at our roster and their roster, you know, and the way we've been playing, and I always felt like, you know, we could have done way better than we did.
Has anyone ever asked you to please chill out running the floor? I'm getting tired chasing you.
I think who said that? I think, I don't know who we played. I think it was like, it would have been like Indiana or something. I think it was like Carlson or something. And he was telling me like, yo, chill. like don't. I don't remember who it was. I mean, it might have been him.
I hope it was Darren Carlson. Yeah. He's also very fast.
Oh yeah, he's fast. Yeah. But he was like, I think somebody told me like, yeah, man, you gotta chill. Like, I'm not trying to run today. I was just laughing. But
I would imagine that happens.
It probably happened a couple of times.
Who's your best spin move victim of the year? Is there a spin move? Is there a spin move that is near and dear to your heart? A specific one?
Ooh. Probably Paul Millsap.
I gotta go back and watch it. Yeah, here Denver, or in Denver?
Here. Cause here? I didn't play there either. Uh-huh. So it was here. Yeah. I had two like pretty spicy spin moves.
They were spicy.
Game. Yeah.
You know what? I remember I was at that game and I do remember tweeting about your spin move during that game.
It was Millsap. Yeah. That one was like, I think it was just like a combination of like quick and just smooth. And you know, it was like both like in one. Cause sometimes it's like, okay, I'll go quick and then I'll do like a little awkward spin where it's like, it's kind of like slow. But that one was just like I was calm and then boom, like it happened too fast. That one was good.
Has any opposing player ever said something to you about your spin move?
I mean, they always say I'm a spin. Like they say that all the time.
They talk before it happens. Like, I know what's
like
coming.
Spin, yeah. But.
Has anyone ever said it's a good move or?
No. I mean, it's just a spin move, right? Like everyone does.
But it's, not everyone does spin moves. So, but here's the challenge with spin moves. And this, watching you play last night, this got hammered into my head. You're able to spin and still keep track of where everyone else is on the floor. Mm-hmm. Some people who really like to spin because you kind of lose vision,
right?
But you're able to keep track of where, like, is that just natural to you? Because there were a couple last night where you're doing all sorts of stuff, spins, herky jerky and landed, but you know, Fred's over here. Mm-hmm. Someone's over here. Mm-hmm. That's just natural.
Yeah. I think for me, like, I've always like been like a spin. Like maybe in college a little bit, I was like a lot of duckings and hook shots right away. But then like when I was always in a move, I always liked to spin. Like spinning is like, I always done it. Like even last year, like I was spinning, but I think it's just, I think this year was a little,
people caught on a little bit
and people saw it. But for me, like it's just natural. Like, and I always have my vision and I always, you know, cause I know usually what I'm playing, I don't count my defender.
Interesting.
Yeah, like I don't count my defender because like I know most of the time I'm a like be in front of him or like I'm a kind of like
beat him.
I'm a beat him like most of the time. So like I'm thinking about what the other people are gonna do, and you know like most of the time they don't help because you know when we have like you know really good shooters on the floor, it's like you know I have the lane so I can do whatever. But then you know when they help. Like I'm always looking at that and I'm thinking somebody's open.
So we're in this weird period where Kyle has missed a bunch of games in a row. Your offense is, you're not, you're personally, but the team's offense is slumping a little bit. Eventually that will change. Kyle will come back.
Yeah, we need Kyle.
And yeah, it turns out you need Kyle. Although you've won, I think you're 5-3 without him or something. But that Orlando, what the hell happened in Orlando? Yeah. Was it too much time in Florida?
I mean, probably, huh? Like people had their families there.
Okay, too much time.
Maybe.
Florida.
It's nice weather and all that.
Like, I'm going tomorrow. I'm going tomorrow to Florida.
Yeah, it's nice. But I mean, yeah, it was just one of those games. I mean, you get like at least like maybe like 3 or 5 of these games a year. So yeah, it was one of them.
But when Kyle comes back, you'll have the ball a little bit less. You'll still have it a lot, but you got another high usage ball handler guy there. So, you know, and you've talked about this, you know, in the playoffs, people are going to help way off you.
Right.
People are going to let, if you're behind the 3-point line, your guys are going to be in the paint. That's going to, people are waiting. I think there's a lot of people in the league who are like, Pascal's great season.
Right.
Really good player. I want to see what happens to him in the playoffs because they're going to treat him like a non-shooter. Right. You're shooting 33% from three now. You're letting him fly. Mm-hmm. Like, are you ready for that? Or you know it's coming?
I'm ready for that. I'm more than ready for that. Because for me, like, I think even now, like, it's not like people don't give me space. Like, the thing is, like, for me, like, I'm kind of like learning how to use that, you know, like, and watching a guy like, I mean, obviously Giannis is, he's like a freak of nature, just like in terms of like, you know, his length and the things he's able to do. But like the way he uses the space that people give him, like, you know, like
as a runway.
Yes. People don't guard him like that, but like he still gets to the rim. Like I think that's incredible. And it's something that I've been watching and trying to learn from and just like how to navigate through that. But then at the same time, like, you know, like I'm confident as a shooter, you know, like I work on my game and I know I can make shots, like, you know, and that's my mindset. And from the corner, obviously, you know, I'm always going to let it fly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just pick my spots from, you know, the wing and things like that. But I always feel like, you know, when I got space, it's even better for me. Like I can always get to the rim. And make plays
for shooting. You've obviously worked very hard on your shooting. That's been well publicized. I was laughing because I was reading Nick Nurse said to the media once, well, we think he's going to be a 35% three-point shooter. You're like, no, better, better than that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get above 35. Yeah. So has the work on your shot been just repetition or have you actually changed your shot at all since you got here?
I not changed. I mean, I think I changed a little bit just because like, if you watched me earlier, like my elbow was kind of like all over the place. Now I'm trying to just like, you know, keep the ball on one side and, you know, just, making sure that it's not a lot of movement in my shot. Mm-hmm. Cause that's what it was before. Like it was a lot of movement,
you with know, your hand,
I was
with your release
my hand
point.
And being all over the place. Now it's just, focusing on keeping the ball on one side of my body and, you know, the release point, make sure that I'm not flat cause I'm flat most of the time, you know, just, high release.
Cause you have that thing in your practice facility that like can tell you the arc, right?
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah. And things like that. So we worked a lot on arc cause that's one of the problems. And then also like being ready for me just with my feet. Cause you know, most of the time it was short, you know.
The feet are so underrated. Cause you'll see guys who catch the ball open, but they got to bend over to catch it and their footwork just isn't ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's for me, that's really a big deal. Cause like you said, like I spent so much time running and using my energy and like being fast that, you know, sometimes like when I get the ball, like I'm not ready to shoot. So like that's something I'm working on now. Just being another guy on the floor that can, you know, as soon as I get it, I can shoot it too.
Yeah. You would be very annoying to play against with how hard you run. I would be very annoyed to play against.
So, like, that's what I gotta work on too. And I'm working on every day.
Let's go back to Rico and UCLA and a couple more quick ones and I'll get you out of here. So someone told me, so you're at the UCLA run, which is like sometimes that's Raptors people and sometimes that's whoever is in town. Someone with the Raptors told me, you know, they, when they're picking teams out there, whoever gets to pick teams, like there was a run where like some of the best players in the world wanted Pascal on their team, like verbalized, like we want that guy on our team. So who wanted you on their team and like, what was the coolest moment for you?
I don't know, actually. I maybe if that happened, I didn't know about it, but I think, I mean, I played with James Harden, you know, Chris Paul and, you know, on the same team. I think one time it was Kevin Durant too, but for me, I mean, Rico is always make the teams and
oh,
you
he
know,
makes the
yeah,
teams?
Yeah, he makes the teams.
Oh.
So, I mean, maybe between them, they probably like, oh, okay, we want this and this happened, but I don't know.
So Harden, Paul, KD.
I mean, Victor Oladipo, Paul George, Like, the list goes on. A lot of elite players.
Who's the most annoying guy to guard in the NBA for you? Who's
me?
Who's the guy you see and you're like, oh, this is going to be a long night. Or this is going to be an annoying night.
I mean, it was always kind of like LeBron too, but like, I think for me, the hardest, the toughest KD. Just cause like, I mean, LeBron is strong. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he can always like get his way to the rim, right? But you know, like, but if he doesn't make shots, like, it's a little easier to guard him, you know? Like, I want to say easy, but like, you can do much to bother him.
Yeah.
But like, Kevin Durant is just, I don't know, like, his length, he can shoot over you. He's skilled. Like, he can pull up. Stephen A. Smith said he can pull up from 30. So it's like, it's definitely tough. He's a tough guy.
How much was he talking when he put up 51? What did he put up here against you guys? Whenever he almost single-handedly.
Yeah, I know.
Game,
like,
was he talking?
He wasn't talking. I didn't hear him talk.
They say you talk from the bench.
I do?
Especially when when Kawhi has a mismatch in the post.
Oh, and
Pascal's on, what do you say?
That was my favorite thing. Cause DeMar was like my favorite by far. Cause I mean, he was always on the bench and every time he had a mismatch, you know, I was just like, baby. Yeah.
Like they're like, he's gonna.
No, that was my favorite thing to do. I think, I mean, it's kind of like now I'm on the floor with Kawhi that. So it's like kind of hard, but last year I was on the bench and DeMar, like it was a funny thing.
Like he's being guarded by a baby. That's what you're saying.
Literally. Okay. And, but it's like, it's kind of like was like that every time. Like,
I'll tell you,
nobody could guard him.
No matter how much trash you talk from the bench, you are not talking as much as Jamal McGlory.
No, Jamal is he's probably the best, like, he's the funniest guy I ever seen. Like, I don't know. Maybe after Rico, he's the funniest dude I've been around. Cause like, he just doesn't stop.
No, it's constant.
It's like, it doesn't.
I should pitch that as a story idea. The Raptors will never let me do it. Sit behind Jamal McGlory for a whole game.
The things that he says, I don't think you want to say that.
That's exactly what I want.
But he's awesome, man. Like, the thing is that he brings that energy every day. Like, every day in practice, he's like that. He's like that during the games. Like, he has that same energy and constant talking every single day.
Listeners, another time saver for anyone looking to hire is ZipRecruiter. And right now you should go to ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, the name of this podcast, to start hiring the right people. ZipRecruiter finds quality candidates for you. You don't have to go hunting around to every job posting site in the universe. It finds them for you. It has powerful matching technology and to scan thousands of resumes to identify the people with the right skills, education, experience. And then it proactively invites them to apply for your job so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. That rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. You literally cannot get it for anything less than that at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, the name of this podcast. If you love this show, show your support and go to ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, LOWEPOST. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Where were you and how did you find out that Dwayne got fired?
I don't remember.
Don't remember?
Yeah, I don't remember where I was at. I don't know. But it was, when was that?
That was certainly before he got coach of the year. That was not that was May, maybe.
I don't know. I don't remember what I was doing. I remember it was shocking. I don't remember what I was doing.
were shocked even with the way the season ended?
Yeah, with the way the season ended, I didn't think like it was going to make, I mean, I knew it was going to change, but I didn't know. I just wasn't sure.
May 11th.
You say
there would be some change.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be some change, but I didn't know like what. Like I didn't expect and maybe, I mean, the coaching change, you know, is always like the first thing, you know, we look at when there's change in the team, right?
Easier to change the coach.
Change the coach and everything. But I just didn't, cause you know, I'm just knowing like knowing what he's done here and the things like, you know, like the way they develop. I mean, obviously with DeMar and Kyle and the work that they've been doing. And, you know, I just didn't see that. Like,
did you reach out to him or did same thing with DeMar? You'd like, wait.
Yeah, I didn't reach out. Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like for me, it was all, I'm always like, especially if I don't know exactly what our relationship is like. Like, I don't like to be like.
Right.
Yeah. Like, unless it's like my brother or something. Like, you know what I'm saying? Whereas like, I know how to approach him. in the situation.
The other landmark playoff, I'm sorry to make you go through these painful memories.
I know, but, like, that's crazy. But, Zach, I thought you was my man.
But this is Toronto playoff history. The LeBron shot in game three in Cleveland.
Right. Tough.
Tough.
Yeah.
You were running with him up the floor.
Yeah.
And then you stuck with Kevin Love, I think. That shot. I don't know what you remember about even.
Yeah, I mean, I remember like
that was the one where it all was done.
But for me, I remember that first play. I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do. I wanted to double team him like right away. Kind of went, but it was like, okay, I didn't want to just double team like just me double team him. Like if I didn't have I didn't get like the order to double team.
Right.
I just didn't want to go out of my way and do it. And then
your guy
something happens. Kevin Love gets a shot and it's like, okay, so I'm trying to go, but then I'm coming back. And then once he's up the floor, I mean, it's harder to double team because, you know, he's such a great passer. But then I actually learned that shot, he actually practiced that shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is like, yeah.
Now the locker room after that, is that it?
It's tough. Tough day. That's all I can say.
It's a tough day.
Really, definitely a tough day.
Last one and then I'll let you go. You've played the Sixers with Jimmy Butler. Played the Celtics, had a couple of good games, interesting games against the Celtics. The Bucks, you've played, I think, twice already, mm-hmm. but one game, Kawhi and Giannis both didn't play.
Yep.
Is there, and Indiana's right there too.
Yep.
Indiana, the five of you are mm-hmm. right there. Is there a team you kind of watch more than the others? Is there a team you're more curious about than the others? Is like a potential playoff matchup? I'm not saying better or worse. Who do you fear the most? But is there one of those teams where you're like, I kind of want to see how that develops?
Yeah. I think, like you said, all those teams you named, like the level is there. Like, you know, they have, you know, stars and things like that. I mean, obviously the Celtics and I mean, Milwaukee's been playing incredible and, you know, Giannis has been on another level. So like all those teams, to be honest with you, and like, I kind of watch them, all of them. I watch a little bit, Philly a little bit more because I watch Joel and, you know, just seeing his development and,
he is a beast, man. He made even a jump, a significant jump, I think, from last year to this
mm-hmm,
year.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible, you know, and obviously, my fellow countrymen.
Yeah.
It's good to see.
Are you guys, by the way, are you guys proud? I mean, this is almost a dumb question, but you, Serge, OG, as Masai says, some days OG's African, some days OG's from
OG's from London. OG's from London. He's from London.
But is there a certain pride in how international and African GM, 2.5 African players? I don't know how you want to count OG. Yeah. Is there a pride in that?
This is amazing. Like, it is definitely a pride. I think that's what we want Africa to be. You know what I'm saying? We think that that's the level of talent we have, and you know, and having a guy on my side and the job he's been doing with Giants of Africa and all the things he does in Africa is awesome. And you know, just having us, you know, people that kids can look up to and know that, you know, like you have to believe in yourself and you have to put the work in. And I think it's just for us, just sitting here and knowing the impact that we have, it's awesome. It's incredible.
And you're going, I think you're going to do something back in Cameroon this summer, right?
Yes, this summer, yeah.
What's the plan? Can you talk about it at all?
No, we haven't had anything in set in stone, but it's definitely the plan is to be back, to go back this summer, working on the details and on the things that we're going to do, for now, but you know, it's definitely the plan.
All right. Well, keep us posted. Pascal Siakam, it's been awesome watching you play this year. And we'll see what happens with the Raptors going forward. But it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, my man, I appreciate you, man. You know, keep the key safe. You know, the bandwagon.
Yeah,
keep
the keys for the bandwagon. No one, you can't jump on. After a certain time, you can't jump on. You can't be like, oh, this guy's good. No, he's been good. That's it. The bandwagon's closed.
There you go. Hey, keep the keys somewhere safe.
All right, Pascal, thank you.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.